Well, it was kind of ironic because on Sunday, before, as they were announcing the playoff positions or the rankings, I was getting ready to go to my daughter's dance recital. And so I was like, kind of getting stuff ready, half paying attention, half messaging you and being like just the joking of where are they going to fall? Like, they can't keep an undefeated champion out when there's not four undefeated champions. And it just seemed like it was such a done deal that it was like just a total gut punch when they're like, psych, Alabama gets the final spot. That like completely ruined my weekend. And I like try to rationalize it, being like, you have no input on any of the process or things that go into this. But it was just like, it ruined my weekend. And I still was like, just sitting there thinking like, how the hell did this happen?
So your entire weekend was ruined.
Absolutely.
I'm going to talk about it on the big show, but I was kind of just shocked that it happened. And I was more annoyed that I just couldn't find it on TV anywhere. I'm like, they were doing it live on ESPN, of course. So you can't watch that on the ESPN app for some reason. And then I'm like, oh, I'll just see everyone else. Every other, like CBS has a sports like network that you can click on. And it's like, here's our college football playoff reveal show. I click on it. And I thought it was going to be like the NCAA tournament where they're like a couple minutes behind ESPN and they're giving like live commentary on it. Like, no, it was nothing like that. They were just talking about the championship games, like a preview from the day before. I'm like, we already know what happens, guys. Like, why is this called the college football playoff show? So that was my only annoyance with the thing.
But I think like we joke all the time off air about like random conspiracy theories and like the political aspect driving college sports. And it was like all of those like things that we joke about, like there's no way that could actually be a real thing, like came to fruition this weekend. It was like, you gotta be kidding me.
Yeah, that's the truth. I've been saying it for a while. I know you think I'm like joking, but when you see things happen, and like even the investigation into Harbaugh and like other conferences just trying to push it, it really comes down to him. I honestly, like, there's no doubt in my mind. A lot of people will say that Michigan is just like making it up to like cover up the cheating or whatever, but it's all about him wanting to pay players. And that has to be it. There's no reason for like the ACC to try to band together and complain about Michigan making the playoffs over Florida State, because that's not the argument. They're both undefeated champs. Harbaugh was suspended in season, which is unprecedented, for an investigation that wasn't even open yet. So, like, for that to even happen, the point is moot. They did that because they didn't think, they thought the cheating actually was worth something, and Michigan would immediately lose and lose bad. That was the narrative. When Michigan won without Harbaugh, and the narrative dropped. Like, it doesn't make any sense. You can't say that Michigan only won because of that. They have two top 10 wins. How many programs don't even have two top 10 wins in the last decade? A ton of them. So you can't say, oh, they only won because they're cheating. No, they have more top 10 wins than like anyone. Even Ryan Day, I think, only has one or two. So like, for Moore, should have been the assistant coach of the year, the Broyles Award or whatever they call it. Honestly, he should have been, because they gave it to Phil Parker from Iowa. He beat him in the Big Ten championship.
Well, guess what? They didn't have any offense. And that was the running joke all year. They had a 10-win season with no offense. That's the one thing that I actually did agree with, was that was a deserving award, because he had to coach his ass off because nobody else was doing anything.
But, like I said, it's unprecedented that the assistant coach becomes the head coach and wins two top 10 games. Like, James Franklin, I think, only has one top 10 win or whatever.
Well, see, he should be the head coach of the year, not the assistant.
He should be. He's not even on the list.
You can't be the acting head coach and then be assistant of the year. He's doing too many other jobs.
He was doing too many jobs. That was my worry going in the Ohio State game I talked about. You can't be the line coach and the offensive coordinator and the thing. He's been doing it for so long that it's like, I don't even know what you would say to that. The Iowa game was so pathetic that I'm like, whatever. Let's go ahead and start the show because I'll talk about it there. Hello and welcome to the Southbound Sports Show. I'm your host, Richie Leahy, here with my co-host, Matty B. And we're talking already about the college football playoff. I might even add the slow intro to the podcast. We'll see how long we go here. But college football playoff
Speaking of playoffs.
Yeah, you want to go first?
Absolutely. Speaking of football, the Noles, national champions. Getting in the playoffs, winning 5-1 in soccer, national champions. It's the fourth national title for the program. Congrats to the Lady Noles. They finished the season with 22 wins, one tie, and no losses. Imagine that. When you have no losses, you get to make the playoffs and prove that you're the best team. Now, they beat Stanford 5-1. So, I mean, I'm pretty sure if they would have put, you know, I don't know, Alabama or Texas in there, it might have been probably a more competitive match or, you know, drawn more higher viewings last night. But what can you say? When they just put in just whoever deserves it as opposed to who the best team is in December, that's what you get. You have 5-1 schlacking.
So, I was going to have notes for the show. I honestly have nothing because I figured I'm just going to riff and go in any direction here. I have some points that I want to talk about. The first being that the whole playoff system never made sense to me. And I've been complaining about it off and on for like a couple of years because I want them to include everybody. And they don't do it. And there's no reason not to do it. Because I have people sending me stuff. They're like, oh, if Matt's going to talk about Florida State, you should talk about like this 1993 year where West Virginia got screwed out of a chance to play Nebraska for the national title. And it's like, that's the entire reason this was created, so that stuff stopped happening. And I thought that the conferences kind of like, they really screwed themselves, the ACC being one of them. And it's like, what are you doing? Why are you still just taking whatever ESPN is like telling you to do? Because they clearly eliminated your conference. Because like, remember, like when did they sign that deal? Was it 2016? ACC signed a television deal with ESPN that locks them up for like 20 years to like 2036 or something, 2036. And ESPN's thing was, this is a hell of a deal. People are cutting cable. Like they were like feeding the rumors that everyone else was scared about, you should sign it. Meanwhile, the Big Ten was like, yeah, we are afraid of that, but we're going to sign shorter deals. And guess what? The fear never really happened. So because they're only signing 3-5-year deals or whatever it is, they're coming up for renewal. And the Big Ten's like, look, we're still leading your ratings. You need to pay us more. And meanwhile, the ACC can't do anything because they're locked in with that crappy contract because they were afraid. They were afraid. And now I don't think there's anywhere they can go. And it's sad because there's so many teams, NC State, Pitt, that are just going to be left behind. And there's like, if I was telling you, if NC State went undefeated, hell, if Pitt went undefeated, there's a good chance they're not making the playoff. And people are telling me the 12-team playoff is going to change it. They're going to change it. Absolutely not. What they're going to do is those teams are never going to get a bye, which hurts the conference in terms of payout, which is what the big conferences want. They want that guarantee paid out. They'll say, oh, well, you're still in the playoff, Florida State. You now get a home game against Georgia, okay? Or whatever team, like I guarantee that in the 12-team playoff, If Florida State, if this happens again, if Florida State doesn't get the bye, they're going to have an absolute nightmare of a matchup.
Well, look at the way the college football final rankings went. If you follow the same bracket, you got six Big Ten teams, five SEC teams, and Florida State from the ACC, and that's it. And the Bush League part about that is that who's generating those rankings? So you have these SEC teams that they beat each other up week in, week out, and they have one loss, two loss, three loss teams that just keep getting recycled. And like we talked about earlier, you know, Duke loses a game, they fall completely out. Clemson loses a game, falls completely out. Like, there's no, well, you fall from 17 to 19. You know, somehow Georgia loses and falls to 6. Yeah, and we're within striking distance of getting into the Final Four.
Well, you know, if Florida State and the state of Florida cause a big enough stink, maybe they can just get the whole thing canceled, or we can just stop the count. Michigan can be number one. Both polls, not even a split championship, Matt. I think that's pretty fair. The other teams can claim it, like UCF, but no one really. I saw ESPN did a thing. It was like, there's been no new champ since Florida in 96. So I'm like, nah, UCF is literally in the NCAA championship book for 2017, guys. Like, what are you talking about? Like, that's an actual thing that happened because of this entire stupid system where you're like, well, we can't put them in. But then they use they cherry pick, like, oh, Cincinnati, they lost. So that's proof that you can't put UCF in, or you can't put Liberty in this year. Because what if they TCU it? It's like TCU got a playoff win.
The irony is that they put Liberty in the New Year Six because, well, what can we do? They just won all their games. And then the Florida State, they're like, nah, fuck it. You're in Alabama.
Well, see, that's where I guarantee they did the matchups on purpose, because they had a chance to give another traditional, like, Big Ten, Pac-12 matchup like they're supposed to do and have Ohio State play Oregon. But instead, they were like, well, we got to give Florida State Georgia. And the only reason they did that is because they are hoping that Georgia wins so that they can say, look, we're right. We're right. Florida State's not even as good as Georgia. But they didn't have the balls to rank Florida State sixth, because then it doesn't make sense. Like, their previous rankings are what drives me insane, because I've been telling you, like, look how they're ranking teams. They're ready to flip them. I kept telling you, if things broke the other way, Ohio State was going to get into playoffs again. And I was worried about it. And you're like, nah, that's crazy. They'll never get in. And buddy,
I didn't think Ohio State, but honestly,
they got in last year, though.
Different team with the injury to Jordan Travis. In a lot of ways, yes. But if the committee and everyone else had these reservations, why do you wait until, like, they gambled and lost, thinking, oh yeah, they're definitely going to lose against Florida. They're definitely going to lose against a ranked Louisville team. So you keep betting on yourself, and you're like, oh no, it's going to naturally play itself out.
We'll see.
And it didn't.
The thing that really bothers me with the playoffs is there's such a long layoff that we don't know how these teams are going to respond. Like, I think any of the top four can win it. Hell, even the top, like, probably 7 or 8 teams could probably win the national championship on any given year. People will point to, like, Georgia last year blowing out TCU. They might not even have made it if Ohio State makes that field goal. And then what? So you can't tell me that Georgia was so much better last year, because they weren't. They should have lost. Ohio State missed a game-winning field goal. That wasn't a field goal to tie. That was the game. And that's the same team that Michigan blew out in Ohio Stadium. But because just the way the games work, you get a couple bounces your way, and that's it. So, like, them putting Oregon against Liberty is the same as them putting Georgia against Florida State. They want Liberty to lose, because they could have easily put Ohio State versus Oregon and then had Missouri play Liberty. But they know that Liberty or Missouri is not that good. So they were like, ah, crap, what are we going to do? We'll just give Ohio State the Missouri game, and then we'll put Oregon against Liberty, because they couldn't really use Ohio State because there's rumors that like Marvin Harrison's not going to play, and like 11 Ohio State guys are already in the portal. And after that Michigan game, there are rumblings that like Ohio State was actively going to clean house. They didn't know who was going to show up in a bowl game. So there's no way giving Ohio State an important bowl game in terms of like the rankings.
If you give Ohio State Oregon and you give them something to play for, I think you have fewer guys jumping in the portal right now for this early transfer stuff. You're to go up against Missouri right now, like, a lot of those guys, what's the incentive of doing that?
Well, see, that's my thing.
They're a middle-of-the-road SEC program.
Everyone talks about how tough the SEC is, like, look at this and look at that. But Missouri, I can't even say how you would think they were good. They played Middle Tennessee State, beat them by 4. They did beat Kansas State. Kansas State, I don't think, really ended up ranked or anything. Well, they did. They're 25th, so they're 8-4. So yeah, that's a decent win. Other than that, they beat Kentucky and Tennessee. I'm not sold on either of those teams, but they lose to Georgia. They lose to LSU. That's LSU's Heisman moment is Missouri. But they also barely beat Memphis. They struggled against Vanderbilt, and they struggled against Florida. They should have lost to Florida. And Florida's not that good. And then you put them ahead of Penn State, and it's like, Penn State beat Iowa bad. They're non-conference. They blew out like West Virginia that ended up with like what, the same record as, I think they were around 8-4. Maybe they're 7-5. Let's check it real quick. But like, what's the difference, right? For me, they're 8-4. What's the difference between West Virginia and Kansas State other than Kansas State played Missouri tough? Penn State blew West Virginia out 38-15. And Penn State pretty much blew everyone out except for Michigan and Ohio State that they lost to that are top 10 teams. So I honestly don't even know why they would do that matchup. They put Penn State against like Ole Miss. And I thought, like, I don't even know if I'm sold on Ole Miss. The SEC overall had a losing record in the non-conference, and they weren't even playing the top teams. So to me, it's like, I don't know how good the conference is. Could Bama blow out Michigan? Hell yeah. Could Michigan blow out Bama? Hell yeah. We don't know. Texas beat them by 10 points. Washington's another unknown to me. I was secretly really hoping Washington won because I had a bad feeling that if Oregon had one loss, that they were going to use that as the team to move out. And people were telling me like, oh, you're crazy, man. Oregon's like the highest one loss team. But I looked at their schedule. I talked about it last week on the show. Oregon's schedule was garbage. It was complete trash. Their signature win was the Jonathan Smith coach that was going to Michigan State didn't have practice that week. So like you knew that they weren't going to be ready. And Washington went ahead, punched him in the mouth. Washington really could have killed him that game. And they couldn't put him away. So credit to Oregon to keep it close. And even, I think, took the lead late. And then, of course, I think they cut it. Maybe they did have the lead. I can't remember. I do know that the one play, Washington was up 2 scores, and Oregon had that long touchdown play where they had 5 guys not even try to tackle them. And I thought, if they lose, those kids are going to have nightmares of like, oh, I'm going to give up on the play right here. Like, just let them go. Like, what are you doing? I was so baffled at that. But I knew that if they had a one-loss Oregon, that would have given them enough. Texas was the other one because I was kind of pushing for chaos. I told you, I thought that if Washington won, they wouldn't be able to push Oregon out. And that I thought Florida State was locked in because I thought an undefeated champ, you have to put him in. And then the fourth seed should have been Texas. I honestly thought they were going to flip it. And so whenever they did Michigan, I think they really wanted the Washington-Texas matchup because of the shootout style. And then I heard people say, like, AP put Florida State at 4. And I thought, this is going to be great for the show. Florida State, Michigan matchup. Both are just heavy defense. And I heard that from a lot of commentators. It was like, did you really want a 10-7 playoff game? It's like, yeah, why not? Would you rather have a 63-7 playoff game?
Like, we had that recently. We had that Georgia-Alabama that we talked about. That it was a defensive struggle and no points were scored. I think you got to do what you need to do to win. Like, there was a Michigan game a couple weeks ago where McCarthy threw what, three times? You ran the ball like 100 times in a row.
That was Penn State, yeah. Because they didn't have to. Yeah, and like, I mean, he got his ankle rolled up. So they thought, you know what? I mean, he did attempt the one throw, it was pass interference, but in between that, they didn't even try. Like, they were just running. And they actually just brought in the goal line. And Penn State couldn't stop it. It was insane. So
I mean, like, they make a big deal about, oh, what can you do with the quarterback? Like, you have a month to prepare. It's not like you're pulling an NFL where you're playing Sunday and then you turn around playing the Thursday night game. Like, you know, you try to give a little bit of balance to it, but the coaches this year, and I feel like there's a heavy bias with Michigan and Florida State, that they've tailored it around what their team can do. So, like, you're giving them a month, and now, granted, Michigan doesn't have Stallions anymore, so you're going to have to game plan on your own. So
I know we did lose the greatest analyst in the history of college football, so that's going to be a blow.
the only analyst that everybody knows.
I know. People were giving me a hard time about it yesterday, talking with, like, ACC people. They were like, oh, do you think Michigan should have been held out of the playoffs? It's like, why would they have? Well, they have an active investigation. I'm like, the active investigation is about the hamburger thing. It's not about NCAA. I don't think has even opened it. They closed their interviews. And I mean, maybe they're going to open one in the off season. I don't know. But like, if all the proof the NCAA even like put out to the Big Ten and said, like, there's no proof any other coaches were involved, it's literally this one guy. They suspended him for 3 games. The Big Ten really wanted, because like, that's my thing. If Michigan was suspended for the playoffs, they wouldn't have been in the Big Ten championship. Then you would have had a one-loss Ohio State. They are 100% putting Maserati Marv in the playoffs if they had the chance. Like, it wouldn't matter if it's Michigan or Ohio State. All that would matter is Washington would be number one, Ohio State would be number two, Texas three, Bama four. That's exactly how it would have went, because Ohio State would have lost to their number one that was disqualified, Michigan. So they would have been ranked number two. Florida State still would have been out. It wouldn't have made a difference. They're not leaving the Big Ten out. They've already proven, when Ohio State jumped TCU all those years ago with their third string quarterback, that the big teams aren't going to be left out. That's why I said, I feel safe. You used to laugh at me when I tell you, oh, I feel safe. There's no way they're leaving Michigan out. Investigation, no investigation, maybe an extra loss, wouldn't matter. Because, like,
well, and here's the funny thing. They make such a big deal about Jordan Travis and the injury and how different the offense looks. I'm going to give you two quarterbacks, and you pick which one you want. Quarterback A, 441 yards and 3 touchdowns. Quarterback 2, 436 and 1 touchdown.
Which one
would you like?
That's the Michigan one you're talking about?
Is the Florida State quarterbacks have 3 touchdowns, and that's second and third string. So they're saying that they're treating it like there's this massive drop-off in production. You don't have – and this is coming from a wing T coach. You don't have to throw the ball.
Well, that's why Michigan doesn't have stats.
Just run it.
Do you need to
just get in the Wildcat, and that's how they pulled it off against Louisville. You find a way to win.
Well, I've seen people show about Michigan stats and how they're lower than other teams. They eat the clock. Like I told you going into the game last week, they're not going to embarrass Iowa. Could they have really stretched the field and probably put up 50 points? Yeah. But they didn't. They just kept running and settling for field goals because they didn't even take a shot downfield. They just didn't care. And I think it was more out of respect for Kirk Ferentz. I mean, Kirk Ferentz came out. The only thing he said before the game was, it'd be funny if we won. Because he knew, like, we have no chance. As soon as I saw Michigan take the punt return, which credit to the Iowa guy that ran that play down, because he missed the original tackle.
Yeah.
And ran all the way. And I thought, man, if that was Washington's D, they would have gave up 5 minutes ago. That would have been an easy touchdown. And I think the Michigan guy, Morgan, was surprised, which I did think. I was very, very shocked that Harbaugh brought Morgan out to do the interview at the end of the game. Because last week he caught fire because he recorded a video in the locker room where he called Ryan Day a bitch. I thought, oh, God, here we go. And then he said, he came out, I don't know if you saw the post game. He's like, no cap, I'm the best freshman out there. And he did say, he's like, I got a little gassed on the run back, so he'll probably hear about it. Because I thought, oh man, that guy, he ran out of gas. He could have had a touchdown easy. He did a bunch of juking at the beginning, but that other guy ran him all the way down. But I thought it was funny that, like, that's the recruiting pitch that right now Harbaugh's given. Because all he has to say, because, I mean, you're going to get the negative, like, oh, sign-stealing stuff, which doesn't really matter. Because the only negative that they can really say is he might go to the NFL, which could be true. But the fact that there's a bunch of five stars that are looking to transfer into Michigan, and like you're a freshman and you're going to get an interview when you're already been told, like, yo, let's be careful what you say. You can't be calling Ryan Day a bitch. And then they're like, Harbaugh came out with a big grin. He's like, hey, get him up here. It was almost like he was ready. And you could tell that he got coached up on it because he was like kind of embarrassed at first to talk. He's probably, I only imagine it's probably like Bull Durham whenever Kevin Costner's teaching that other guy like what to say. He's like, you just give him the vanilla answers. Like, don't be calling the other head coach out. Because it's funny to the outsiders, but like, I'm sure Ohio State people didn't find that funny. But yeah, that's the one thing with like Harbaugh, because everyone was like, wait till he gets the trophy from the Big Ten commissioner. Nope. Harbaugh's like, he's like five steps ahead of everybody with like his PR stuff, that he has to have a dedicated team because he had the broken leg lineman come out and he accepted the trophy because then he knew that no one was going to boo the commissioner. Because you're not going to boo our own guy that just broke his leg.
That's like the same Michigan team from a couple weeks ago, and you lose your All-American lineman.
Matt, they already had proof last year. We weren't the same team. We didn't have Blake. Blake was the best player last year. Should have won the Heisman. Hurt his leg. They didn't have him for the playoffs. Didn't matter. Still were seeded number two. That's why I said people were like picking. It's not the fact that he's hurt. They just didn't want Florida State in. And that's why I don't understand why people are up in arms, and I see a lot of Ohio State fans, and especially Michigan State fans, for whatever reason, are just pushing the narrative that, like, we feel bad for you, Florida State. It really should have been Michigan that's out. It's like, no, they needed to stand up when they did the committee, because it was almost like a shot, because the SEC guy said, well, if you guys never did the Alliance, you wouldn't have been left out. But the Alliance didn't hurt the Washington or Michigan seeding, because they're 1-2. Right?
Yeah.
It only hurt Florida State. It was like, and Florida State's the same team that ESPN controls. ESPN only controls the playoffs for what, two more years after this? I think 2026, it opens up to more of an NFL style. And I think that's where you're going to see. The NCAA is scared. Did you see the news about them starting maybe a subdivision ahead? So they're looking to create a division.
It's almost like the regulation. It's almost like the regulation.
That's exactly what it's going to be. And how do they decide which teams are going into that? They're trying to get ahead of it and break apart the conferences. But if I'm Michigan, I don't even want to go to that. Because who's to say you don't get some crazy Ohio State or Michigan State guys on that committee that are going to say, like, we don't want you in. Because, like, that's the rumors I've been hearing, is that four ACC reps on that committee were happy to vote Florida State out because they didn't like them talking trash on the ACC. And you prove me wrong. I mean, that's what I'm hearing. Yep. And you can't tell me that whenever they're there, they would. And I think what was the payout? It was like $4 to $6 million or something. It's not a big payout for the rest of the conference, because that, till that gets divided up, you still get the New Year's Six Bowl. But like you had said, all that money's coming down. And it's getting split up between the Big Ten and the SEC because they're going to get all the bids. You're going to have your one locked in. That's why I hope they would just cancel. I wish Florida State right now would just cancel the bowl and say, we're not doing it. And if they had the conference behind them, the entire ACC should just say, we're out. We're not going to do it. Hell, they could even just create
one better, because I think that this would be an even ballsier move. Accept the bid, go through all the warm-ups, and then when the game starts, just stand there. Just be like, we're protesting. And just sit there and just hang out. And all those people, all the ESPN have to pay back the sponsors that are trying to run the commercials. Because, like, well, we're just here, just showing people sitting in the stands. Just absolute bedlam.
Well, that's where I was joking with you, because the Iowa-Michigan game, of course, they're just running the ball. Like, at one point, the Florida State game started first. And then Michigan was like 5 minutes ahead. And then next thing you know, they're like, we're going to do a random review for 20 minutes. And they're throwing like 8 commercials. And I'm like, who's calling these reviews? Like the TV execs? Because the next thing I know, the Florida State game is ahead in time. And the only difference was Michigan didn't stop running the ball. What was the final score? Like 26-0. Like Iowa still wasn't doing anything on offense. That game should have been over early. But because of the amount of reviews, they were able to shove extra commercials in. It was like, why? What are you doing? Just get to the celebration.
Well, you look, and I'm not knocking Michigan for this, but you're playing Iowa that has no offense and had 213 yards of offense in a dome. FSU had 219 with a true freshman making his first career start in the rain against a ranked Louisville team.
But see, that's the thing. Everyone says Louisville's not good. Kentucky beat them. If they were to beat Kentucky, I still don't even know. I'm still not convinced that they would have put Florida State in.
Hell no. I don't think it would have mattered. But I'm just saying, like, I've listened to every pundit try to give their speech about why it's validated to keep them out of the playoffs. And it's just, it's insane. And I know, like, to go back to your earlier point about the 93 team, where the holes get poked into it is that West Virginia team got absolutely smoked by Florida, I believe, in their bowl game. It was like 41-17 or something.
That's what they're hoping happens to Florida State, so they can say, look, you're not there.
They're hoping that it takes that legitimacy away. And with Florida State had the loss to Notre Dame, but then Notre Dame laid an egg to someone a week later. So it created that when you're looking at the college football playoff system, there were certain criteria that were listed first. And, you know, among those were the conference champions. And the wins and losses were supposed to matter. And those were the things that were first. And then underneath that was that hidden caveat of what do we do? And I feel like they kind of just superseded the regular rules to fit who they wanted to be in. And I would have, like, where I felt more confident with this new system was that we never truly had it play out where we had the four teams and there was always enough losses that it separated the people enough that you could justify going one way or another for the most part. This was a scenario where you have undefeated Michigan, you have undefeated Florida State, you have undefeated Washington. There's three undefeated conference championships. Spin it any way you want to. They're undefeated Power 5 conference champs. They should be in. The only argument that they should have had was whether they were going to allow Alabama, Georgia, or Texas to take that last spot and have that spin the wheel. You know, they talked about TCU last year losing 65-7 to Georgia.
Yeah, I don't know what it was. I just made a score up. I knew it was 60 something.
But I mean, it was 65-7. But it was like that was the same TCU team that beat Michigan the week prior.
Yeah, and that's the same Georgia team that should have lost to Ohio State, a team that Michigan beat. So like anyone can lose on any weekend when you're a top team. You
know, I think so. I think with that much time, it comes down to coaching. It comes down to planning. That there should have been more time to make that things work. And I look at with all of these teams right now, and I don't know how this is going to play out with the players transferring right now, but I feel like following even these transfer portal rules, if it's 30 days from today, that puts you out past the first game of past the first round of the playoffs. So hypothetically, put Florida State in that Alabama spot where they're playing Michigan. If Florida State happens to beat Michigan, which there's a possibility that it could happen. I mean, you took it to the wire with Maryland. You know, there are some tighter games for Michigan over the course of the season that you could make a point that they would have a potential chance. What's to say you don't just grab Ward or one of these other quarterbacks and then you have them start in the national championship game, pluck them from the portal? Does he be able to start if he's in the portal in this early signing period?
I don't think they can, though, right?
I I want to say that, that they could commit. It's once they commit, they have 30 days, I believe, is the rule.
Yeah, but I think they have to actively be enrolled. It's the end of the semester. Because, like, I think Michigan's one of the schools that does it with, like, semesters or whatever. So, if our guys sign in the December period,
would be.
So, I think,
the national championship would fall after the semester started, so they would could potentially be enrolled.
Yeah, they could be. I just don't know what the rule is, how long you have to be in. Because I think Michigan has guys that come in, if they sign in December, the way the semester's set up, they can go to the two-week practice, but I think the NCAA has limits on what they can do. Because remember when Michigan had that signing show? So, like, some of the guys were able to come to that if they were enrolled, and other guys weren't. So they had to kind of just talk vaguely about it. So I'm sure that that's the one thing they want to avoid.
That would be hilarious. It's like, hey, we're playing for a national championship. Oh, God, do you want to win? We can just bring in a roster full of guys right now.
Well, that's what – I mean, Michigan has injured linemen. Could you imagine if they just transferred a whole new line in?
Yeah. Hey, we're playing for the national championship. You can get in on this right now. We're in.
Well, I know. That's what I'm saying. Everyone wants to kind of come to Michigan now, and it's kind of crazy because you keep getting the negative recruiting. But I think a lot of the playoff thing too, they really didn't want to put Bama at 5 and Georgia at 6 because they're not going to match them up in a bowl game. So then you would have had Ohio State most likely play Bama. And what if Ohio State beats them? Because, like, I'm not convinced that, like, Michigan's way better than Ohio State. Like, they're probably neck and neck. I think the top most talented teams are probably this year Georgia, Ohio State, Michigan, and Alabama. But the talent, you have to win the game. That's what drives me nuts. Everyone keeps telling me, like, you don't want all the other conference winners in the playoffs. I'm like, yes, I do. I don't want Michigan to have a bye. I would rather the playoff be a 16-team playoff. Michigan's playing SMU or someone, Tulane this week in the Big House. I would 100% be going because it would be a home game. I would drive up there and I would go crazy. And even though, like, the 4-team bye, I hate the bowl system because it's very regionalized. There's no big time bowl in the North. So, like, what's the benefit? Like, in the past, I it was an exhibition. And a lot of people put so much stock into, like, Michigan's not winning their bowl games. It's like, yeah, look who they're playing. Like, South Carolina, that's their Super Bowl. Michigan guys don't care if we beat South Carolina in some orange, like, citrus bowl or some shit. Half our guys don't even play in that. And so, like, the bowls are so outdated that unless it's, like, the playoffs, I don't care at all. I wouldn't even care. I know the guys want more practice, but, like, I'm on your side. Just don't show up. And that's why I think I get your point of them showing up and then standing, but I think that that would put Florida State alone. And I think the other teams in the ACC need to stand up because they're the ones that are going to be left behind. Like, does Pitt really think that if the NCAA is going to do some NIL thing, that they're going to be pushing people to go to Pitt? Hell no. Like, they might be there getting their ass kicked by Penn State every year, but they're going to still go to the big dogs. That's why they're trying to get ahead of it. And that's why, like, I would be mad if Michigan agreed to some NCAA oversight. They need to have a committee that's, like, one person only. There shouldn't even be a committee for the playoffs. Why not just use regular tiebreakers? Undefeated champs, one-loss champs, head-to-head, whatever, common opponent percentage, just like the NFL, and just go through it. Because everyone knows it should have been Michigan, Washington, Florida State, just based on Michigan has a top two wins. It would have been Texas head-to-head over Bama. There's no controversy with that. Then Bama would have been 5 with the head-to-head over Georgia, Georgia 6. Hell, Ohio State probably should have been 6, to be honest.
But you know what? Honestly, you could make an argument, too, that with Texas having the loss to Oklahoma, that where does that fall within –
Well, that's where putting Missouri and Ole Miss ahead of Oklahoma and Penn State are only there to push that the SEC deserved a playoff spot. Because in reality, would you bet? Because that was their thing. Remember, they kept saying, well, would you bet on Florida State to beat Bama? Would you bet on Missouri to beat Ohio State? Hell no. Like, if it was in the regular season, that probably would be a 30-point win for Ohio State. Would you bet on Missouri beating Penn State? Hell no.
But, you know, they have Florida State playing Alabama in 25. And it's like, cancel it. It's an early game.
That's what I said. Everyone kept saying, well, they want the big matchups to count. Florida State killed LSU. They're going to give the LSU quarterback a Heisman, and his highlight is going to be running for a touchdown against, like, Grambling or someone in that 72-point win.
Scores, that's one of the things that pisses me off is that Jaden Daniels had 17 points before garbage time against Florida State. He did nothing. Again, they shut his ass down.
Well, see, that was my point. Like, there's no way he should even be in it. It should be Michael Penix Jr. He's undefeated. Everyone was writing him off. They were giving the Heisman to Nix. I don't care about the stats. At some point, you have to win, because they can't say that it's all about the stats, because otherwise Marvin Harrison Jr. would never be there. He's not even close to being the highest stat-gaining wide receiver in the country. I think LSU has a guy, Neighbors, that's better. I can't remember the guy from Oregon and possibly Washington that have better stats. The only reason he's there is because he played for Ohio State. And they can probably sell that as, like, look at all these guys we've been getting on the Heisman podium. It's the same reason Michigan can plug defensive guys in, like Aiden Hutchinson and Jabril Peppers. And honestly, Hutchinson probably should have won it. If they wouldn't have wiped his touchdown with that stupid Big Ten review off the board, he probably would have got the Heisman. And, I mean, Peppers had a good chance, because you're talking about the best guy. How many guys play two ways now? Almost no one. And just because you have a bunch of highlights, like, LSU, all their big time matchups, Bama and all them, they lost. What's the Heisman moment? They show the montage of, like, Desmond Howard upset in Ohio State or whatever with the punt return. Charles Woodson, punt return for a touchdown. It's like, oh, here's Tim Tebow willing his team to a national championship. It's like, here's this guy from LSU running for a touchdown against Grambling. Why don't you give it to Denard Robinson then? Denard Robinson, they kept saying, well, he didn't win enough. But now it's just total bullshit. Because they should just go back through the history and be like, yeah, Denard probably should have had it. He was the most electrifying player. Now they're saying, oh, well, it's really the best, most exciting guy. It's like, no, it doesn't have to be.
Because when they announced the finalists, I thought, so you're telling me that Florida State cannot play in the playoffs because they lost their quarterback. Don't mind the all Americans that we have on defense and on offense and all these transfer guys and all these rankings, and we got these 6'12", 300-pound receivers that doesn't matter. We lost our quarterback. Nobody else can throw it to him. No one else can run. No one can tackle. You don't put him in as a Heisman potential candidate. He meant that much that it kept him out of the playoffs and was the justification. But you can't tell me that anybody else is going to affect the game more than Jordan Travis right now, because he made him fall two places 3 weeks after he got injured.
Well, see, that's the thing. If they really think he's the best player, why isn't he in the Heisman voting? I mean, I'd be down for that. It would have been better for his case, though, if Florida State would have lost the last two games after he got injured. But it's like, all right, you're injured.
No, because it would have just been like, like, he's still injured. Like, to me, I think saying he's this dynamic. I almost feel like you could say, well, we felt like as a whole, as a team, you know, and this is the bullshit excuse they're using. Oh, as a team, you're not going to be able to compete at this high level without your star player. As a consolation prize, he's awarded the trophy because he clearly was the best player that they could have potentially been a playoff national championship caliber team, but he got injured.
Well, see, that's the one thing too. Like, Brock Bowers got injured. That didn't stop them from putting him on three best lists, which was insane, because there's no way he's the best wide receiver and the best offensive lineman. Just keep him on the tight end list. Like, why does he have to be on every list? He didn't even play half the season. Wasn't he injured for a few games? So, yeah, like, there's no reason. You can't keep... Last year, they keep Blake off awards because of whatever, even though he had the stats. And then this year, it's like, well, he wasn't running enough. It's like the new clock rules make it hard to get the same stats. And he still set the single-season Michigan touchdown record. So, like, is he the most important? Because would Michigan's offense be even worse without him out there? Maybe Michigan doesn't beat Ohio State this year without him. I don't know. Like, you can't really put that into consideration with the way they do these things. And the bowl games just give them That's why I wish the other conferences, like the Big Ten obviously isn't going to do it because they're cowards. And I wouldn't be, if Michigan and Florida State teamed up and started their own conference, I would be 100% for it. Because they could just cherry pick. Because like if you're Oregon coming into the Big Ten and Michigan leaves and Washington and them, why wouldn't they just join a conference with Michigan and Florida State then? Where you're like, Indiana, you guys have been bitching about us. Indiana's coach comes in, that new guy from JMU, and in his thing, he talks about how Ohio State and Michigan suck. It's like, okay, buddy, sure thing. Like, Indiana hasn't beaten either of us for like 100 years. So, like, you're going to come in and talk shit on the conference.
Alex was playing in Indiana.
Yeah, it's like, give me a break. I don't even know what the heck. Some of these other schools are like thinking in the Big Ten, like not standing up for Florida State, because Florida State's a big enough national championship winning program that like does the Minnesotas of the world or Indiana's or Purdue's even think that if they're close now, this is a precedence that you're not getting in. Even Missouri, you're a means to an end. They're not going to put you in. Someone showed, like, remember when Mississippi State was, like, number one in the college football poll? A lesser team could make it. I'm like, yeah, if they're undefeated, but even if another team's close, they're not getting that bye. They'll just make something up, like, oh, they're more talented than you.
I think that was the thing that sucked the most, is that I understand if you have a one-loss Florida State team and you want to penalize because of the rest of the conference, totally understand that. You lose to Florida. You lose to Louisville in the conference championship and you're not undefeated champ. I don't like it, but I can understand it. I felt, and we pounded the drum all year, winning you're in. There's no way that undefeated conference champion shouldn't be allowed to play. Don't tell me that it'll be boring, because I've watched plenty of boring games that we thought were going to be really good matchups. You know, there's not to say that different variables happen. Guys get injured. Game plan stinks. Weather is a factor at times. It's like different things come up that you can't control how the game's gonna play out. That's why you play it out on the field as opposed to having bureaucrats make those decisions. It's like they want to try to criticize Florida State. And of the teams that were in the running for it, Florida State was the only team that finished every game with at least a two-score advantage. You know, we didn't have to rely on a last-second Hail Mary. We didn't have to grind the clock versus an unranked opponent. You know, every game that they took, Florida State would take knees at the end of the game. Like, they were in the red zone against Pitt. You know, potentially could have added on to more of their final scores. But you know, you have Washington that was down to Washington State and needed to have that last second field goal to win the game.
See, that's a false thing, because people point out the Boston College game that Florida State should have probably lost. That was with Travis.
But he was there, but they still ended up pulling the game out by more than two scores.
No, it was 20. What was the score for that game? Let me look it up. It was 31-29, dude. What the hell are you talking about? Michigan's the only team that has a margin of victory of like six or more in every game.
It was more than two scores than after Travis got hurt, which was the talking point. Because they beat Florida, they beat Louisville. Their last two with second and third string quarterbacks.
Yeah, see, that makes sense. Because those were the only two. But, I mean, I'm all for, like, I don't care about the margin of victory because, like I said, what happens if Bama hits that Hail Mary? They would have just put, or if Auburn hits that Hail Mary against Bama, they would have just made up something to put Georgia in. And honestly, even if Bama wins out, it doesn't change my mindset, because you're devaluing. Everyone keeps talking about, oh, we're trying to preserve the regular season integrity. No, you're not. Bama is the most talented team this year. They should win. Georgia's number two. Ohio State's number three, like I said. That's just on the recruiting thing, because they don't really do like the transfers or whatever. So like, even if the other teams that are in there, I think they said that if Florida State and Washington were both in, it would have been the first time that two teams would have made it that didn't have like the blue chip ratio or whatever to win a national championship. And that's why I didn't think that they would put Florida State at three, because that would almost be guaranteeing that a team with like lower team talent than normal would have been in the national championship. And I don't think they wanted another TCU scenario. So like, I honestly didn't think that Michigan, Texas would ever play in that first round, and it didn't happen. So like putting Bama in there, it's almost like they're trying to set up that Bama Texas national championship. But even then, if Bama won out, I still say it doesn't matter. That's why if Bama wins, they're the four seed. They lost by 10 at home. You can't tell me that an expanded playoff champ is never, ever going to win a lower seed, because right now, Ohio State would be 7. They're just as talented as the top teams. Ohio State could really have run the table this year in the playoffs, and no one would have batted an eye. So don't say that the regular season counts and then squeeze someone in just because they're talented, because that's my argument. Like, yeah, you can say conference champ, but does it matter? Because if you're going through the list, undefeated champ, Florida State had 2 wins against the SEC. Why did they schedule that LSU game? That's honestly why I honestly thought that if the ACC really wanted to do something, these are the steps they could take. First off, you drop out of all your bowl games, because ESPN pays for all the bowl games. They eat that money. ESPN's behind this whole thing. And almost all the teams in the ACC are getting left behind. Let's be real. They should be panicked that Florida State was left out.
And you're right. That affects the recruiting for the ACC too.
Because, Matt, not only this.
It's not just a Florida State thing. Because now, what for a Virginia, a Wake Forest, an NC State, that they are struggling to compete within the ACC. How do you say to a recruit, come into the conference, you can play for a national championship? No, you can't. You're better off going to Rutgers or Iowa or Illinois. And saying at least in the Big Ten, if you pull the miracle off and you have a chance of getting yourself into the playoffs.
And even there, you're going to get paid more. Because the way the NIL is paying out at some of those bigger schools, like people are finding out when they're complaining at like, hey, I'm going to commit to Miami. Oh, you mean my check didn't clear? Oh, let me see if I can like transfer back. That's why I always see people that are like, hey, I'm looking to transfer, and their program list is like Michigan, Ole Miss, Oregon, and Miami. I'm like, Michigan's like an outlier here, guys. So you're making your decision. Do I want to get a bag dropped on me by like one of these other schools that is blatantly paying and bragging about how much they're paying? Or do you want to come win? And I brought Oregon up too, because like, you can't just have mercenary people coming into your program and continue to win. And that's why I honestly wanted Washington to kind of do it. I knew they had Penix as like a transfer, but Indiana's been going through coaches. Like, why would he stay there? Like, at some point you have to get it out, but like, you can't just keep pinging guys. A&M was another one. It's like, you paid for all the recruiting classes. Did it help you? No. LSU, how many guys are they getting in? Didn't work out for them. But the ACC had a chance, because on Sunday, they had their call. The Bulls were reaching out. They were more interested in Notre Dame than the rest of the conference. And they waited till like, what, 5 p.m. or something, I text you? And I said, like, this could really happen. It's what they need to do. But then they caved anyway. Because like, I felt like they heard Notre Dame come in and be like, look, guys, we need to really accept these. And there was even the thing like, if we do something drastic, Stanford and Cal might pull out. And I was thinking, who gives a shit? No one cares about Stanford and Cal. You guys are hitching your thing. Because then like the sentiment down here with NC State, it's like, oh, well, if the conference implodes, we can always go to the Big 12. It's like, can you? How big is the Big 12 going to be? And then if you're only getting one team in the playoff, it doesn't matter if you join a third rate conference that's 30 teams and you're only getting one team in the playoff. You're just like in basketball, like one of those conferences like Gonzaga's in, where it's like, all right, we better start cheering for TCU. Maybe they'll upset Michigan again, and we'll get. I mean, they don't even give a higher payout for going to the national championship game. So not TCU benefited, and the Big 12 benefited nothing from that win. Other than just getting embarrassed. And now no one says anything about Michigan not making it because of that losing to TCU. That for whatever reason, everyone realized like, well, Michigan had to have a bunch of like miscues in that game. And 2 pick sixes, a fumble. They're like, TCU, what an embarrassment. Even though they beat Michigan, they shouldn't even have been in. We would have rather seen Michigan make those mistakes against someone else. And it's like, all right, awesome, guys. But that's what I said. Some of these other schools, I've been saying it, like the smaller conferences like Conference USA, the MAC, they should just create their own starting first four type basketball thing where their champs play each other for that final seed, because how are they going to keep up when only one team can get in and the lower G5 or whatever it is could also be an independent like Notre Dame, I think, unless they changed it. So like, why would you even risk that? It's like dumb. They need to band together. And I think a lot of them are just naive at this point, and they're worried because they're broke. Oregon State and Washington State should have been the loudest ones out there having their states push legislation about Florida State not getting in, because very soon it could be the Mountain West that if Oregon State joins the Mountain West, wins it, they're out. Like, they'll be getting a matchup against Georgia to prove a point. Or whatever team like ends up slipping, like in Ohio State, where they get killed. Like, remember when Ohio State killed Wisconsin, like 59-0? That's the barometer. They're like, oh, Florida State wanted their third string quarterback in. They should have ran the score up like Ohio State did that year with Cardale Jones, 59-0. It's like, oh yeah, because I'm sure Norvell's like, well, how can we run the score up here, boys? Like, instead of just focusing on the win, not everyone's an asshole like Urban Meyer, right? Because like Ohio State didn't have to run the score up. They did it to prove a point, and it worked. And they won the Natty that year. So I don't know. I don't understand why other teams are just like, oh, not a big deal. They got it right. It's like,
I would still question that if they're saying that putting Alabama in over Florida State is going to swing $3 million or $2 million funneled into ESPN, I don't think that it even mattered. Like, I think they started planting those seeds a couple weeks ago, just kind of playing, and they played it out as, well, we're going to let the games play it out and see how they're going to respond to it.
But see,
they knew full well they weren't putting them in.
But see, that's the point. It wasn't just because it was Florida State or Bama. Hell, it could have been anybody. It was because they needed the SEC in, because they need the SEC to be perceived better than the Big Ten, because the Big Ten gets, they have bigger schools. So like, it's a national wide conference now, I told you. So the Big Ten is really scaring at ESPN, because they sunk all their money in the SEC, even adding Oklahoma and Texas. They're going to start taking L's. That's why I'm surprised that the ACC didn't immediately switch to a 9-game conference schedule, because that hurts the strength of record stuff for the other conferences. If you really wanted to stand with the Big Ten and even the Big 12, you need to have an even slate. If the ACC would finally go to the 9-game schedule and say, look, we're not scheduling the SEC anymore, because what's the benefit for us, right? At least if our top teams are losing, they're going to lose to ACC schools. And that's kind of where the Big Ten is right now. It's like, are their teams bad? Like, remember when Maryland beat Texas twice? Like, that was a shocker, and no one, even the media, was like, well, that's a fluke. It's like 2 years in a row. Is it a fluke? Or maybe Maryland is just better than Texas at that point. And so by having that consistent thing, then you can kind of limit the damage to your conference, to where the Ohio States and Michigans and Penn States, like, they're up top. Right now, the real killer for Florida State is they're tied to Florida. That's an SEC school. They beat them. And no one cares because Florida sucks in the SEC. Where if you cut that game, and I know there's some state ramifications to it, and just focus on Miami. If Miami was in the top 10 like Ohio State, this never would have happened. But Miami's been down so long that there's no one else to perk it up. So Clemson goes through a down year. Who's lifting it up? Like, Michigan has Ohio State and Penn State. Hell, Ohio State has had either Penn State or Michigan the past decade or so, like, alternating as that stepping stone of like, oh, here's a top 10 Penn State we'll beat. Oh, here's a top 10 Michigan 1 year we'll beat. And so they always had that program to perk them up. And Florida State just didn't have that because Clemson and Miami are both down. And it's like, what are you guys doing?
But it was like you had that top five matchup with LSU to start the year off that was supposed to be this big game changer. And it's like Alabama's notable wins was against LSU. But it's like, so that's a chip in their favor that they played them late in the year with bunch of injuries. But when Florida State beats them, it's like, ah, oh, that doesn't really count.
See, that's my point. Florida State should just cancel all the SEC games and say, like, look, we're not having you guys get the burst. Because if LSU would have beat Florida State, then hell, they would have been shoving Georgia and Texas or Alabama in over Texas. I know Texas is going to join the SEC, so it won't really matter next year. But then they would use that as a stepping point, like, well, we did kill the ACC champ, so we have to have two teams in. And the Big Ten, like, they only, what they started to do is, you're not playing us unless you're playing home and home. Credit to Florida State, they're always like, oh, neutral site. And it's like, all right, it kind of works out, but the SEC teams don't want to do home and home. So it's a clear way to say, like, look, no, we're going to do a home and home. We want the gate. Like, why was Michigan, with the biggest stadium in the country, going to take like a cut from some crappy half stadium in Atlanta to play like Georgia or something? I know they played Florida there. It's like, no, make Florida come up to Michigan and they won't do it. So you're losing big games because they want the neutral site games, when those to me suck. Because there's no excitement, the crowd isn't as good, and it's like, all right, well, the TV, maybe it's a great game, it's a great matchup, but it really hurts Florida State, because then they don't get anything back, and it's a lose-lose for them, because people can just say, well, the rest of the conference is good. It doesn't matter that you beat LSU. It doesn't matter. We'll put them at 13, and Florida State has, like, what, two wins in the teens now? So, great. And then Notre Dame being a half-ass in the conference really hurts too, because that's a third team that Florida State would have had that's eating up half the ACC schedule for no reason. It's like, why are you here? Like, what are you doing? You're losing to Ohio State to give them a boost, and you're still staying ranked. And everyone's pointing, like, the Big Ten's best win was Notre Dame. They're not even good. It's like, so? By the committee's thing, they don't care about that. They're asking coaches, like, who would you be more afraid to play? Like, why do you care what some random coach says? Like, it was like the Wake Forest guy. It's like, Wake Forest, when have they really been good? They couldn't even beat Pitt that year for the championship, right? So, like, why am I listening to this guy? He probably has a grudge against Florida State, right? So, like, having him speak is just an annoying thing anyway. That's like the Big Ten. It's like the committee, oh, three of the members are from Penn State and Ohio State. It's like, oh, yeah, and they're coming after Michigan? Huh, I wonder why. Oh, what a surprise, guys. And that's where, like, I feel like Michigan needs to step up. I know they're probably not going to, because they're ranked number one, so they don't give a shit. But Florida State, like, the rest of the ACC should come together and say, like, look, every single school should have one vote. And the coaches' poll, honestly, should be open. It should have been open in 97, so you can see which coach voted like a jackass to put Michigan down. They should have opened the ballots back then, because, like, right now, three jackass coaches voted Bama number one. How would you vote them number one instead of Texas? I mean, Bama and Texas are tied in the coaches poll. That's how big of a joke the coaches poll is. It's like the AP was pretty similar. Michigan has 51 votes in both the coaches and the AP. Washington has 11 in the AP. No one else has any, because, like, okay, Florida State's undefeated, but I understand they're not going to give them any first place votes because Travis or whatever. But the coaches pool give Washington 8 and Bama 3. Who are the three coaches? Like, I honestly want to know. Is it Saban himself, Kirby Smart, and Lane Kiffin? Like open it up. Like, let's see, like, who's actually voting for these, because some of it, it's a joke. And why are we still doing the polls? They'd mean jack shit. Like, just have an AP poll. And heck, they can even do a fan vote. I think some of the fan votes on, like, you see on, like, Twitter and Reddit and stuff are all pretty close to whatever the AP poll is anyway, because it's an actual nationwide thing. But, like, some years, the coaches poll, it's like, just go back and release what coach did what ballot. You probably have the info. Release them all so we can go back and look. And then people would realize, like, the coaching poll is full of shit. Like, what are you doing? But that's a sport. It doesn't make any sense. It would be very simple. All they have to do is go to a 16-team playoff, and then if you're a conference champ for any conference, there's 10 of them, I think, and even cap it at 10. There can't be more than 10 conferences. So, like, Oregon State can't grab a bunch of crappy schools and form their own conference because the Pac-12 imploded. Actually, there might only be 9 now. Just cap it at 10. If there wants to be 10, that's when it was whenever this started. 10 auto bids. I don't care who they are. and then six at large. If you want to argue about the at large, like Georgia over Ohio State or whatever, it doesn't matter. All you have to say is win your conference. And if you don't like the way your conference tiebreaker is decided, then your conference has to figure it out. And if you want to have a gigantic conference that screws your team, well, that's your fault for voting for it to expand. Because like then some of them would kind of go down, but they won't give up the money. But that would be a good way to get, like, remember Boise State going on a couple runs? That can't happen now because they have no chance of ever getting in. Even in a 16-team playoff, they're going to maybe get one game, one team in. So like you can't have, like, look at the basketball tournament. You have like Loyola Chicago make a run and Butler and Wichita State. Right. And what's the one Florida? Well, the Florida one, the Dunk City or whatever, the one from Maryland that upset, was it Virginia, the one seed? It's like, all right, all these random schools are getting a chance because there's multiple games a year. You're giving one team a shot in college football against the best it would be one of the champs. So you're most likely going to be playing a champ from another conference. Like this year, they'd be playing Florida State. Florida State has something to prove because they didn't get the bye. They would probably be slamming Liberty. And then people would be like, look, we don't want another Liberty like that. But it's not fair, and you're going to push fans away. Like, fans of Tulane and these other small schools, James Madison, it's like, why would they even watch? And at some point, see, I think you're going to hurt the viewership.
That's a big point to what you're making. You know, those smaller schools, those Chicago Loyolas, they had a chance to prove themselves in the playoffs, and they made their run when they were there. Are there countless teams that get into the NCAA tournament and get their ass handed to them in the first round by the one seed? Absolutely. That is part of that risk, but you earned the right to do it, and you met the criteria to get your foot in the door. And that, I think that's the part that's stinging the most, is that they did everything that you asked them to do. They said, play a tough out-of-conference schedule. Done. Win all your games. Done. Win your conference. Done. Everything down through the boxes was checked, and then they pulled your quarterback got injured. Well, every team has players that are injured. It's the end of the year. Like, don't tell me that everyone's clean as a whistle at this point of the year. You're not the same team. That's where the good coaches shine. Is it, what do you do when you have players injured? You have a month to prepare. So, like, using the ACC championship game is such bullshit because you can't say, it's one thing if you're rolling out your freshman after that performance in the rainy ACC championship game. It's one thing to say, yeah, this is who we have to have. But you have another quarterback that's a veteran on the roster that would have been prepared and ready to go with a month to prepare for it. Like, I think there's more to that. And so with the thing that matters now, and it was the same thing that mattered before, is win your game. Win your bowl game, because it's a damned if you do, damned if you don't catch 22. Because if you beat Georgia, well, they didn't make the playoffs, and they weren't up to it. If you lose, you weren't supposed to be there anyhow. And you're stuck in that middle ground of, if you win, so what? If you lose, well, you shouldn't have been in the playoffs to begin with, so shut up. And I'd like to see them just win it so that at least they have that opportunity to have the asterisk that they did what they needed to be the national champion, and let it fall where it may. Because if Washington and Michigan lose, you have a team that's undefeated in winning all their games. There has to be a line of logic to place them number one at the end of the year, being that everyone else would have a loss.
Heck, even if Michigan wins the tournament and Florida State beats Georgia, it should be a split championship. Or actually, they should even have a split championship thing, because the coaches' pool sucks anymore. They should just have a shared title like they used to have. And I think the split title was kind of just a slam people used to throw, like, well, Washington, you don't want to go there. They only won a split title. It's like, they still won a title, buddy. They won the title. No one beat them. And that's where, like, I don't understand, because it's not going to dilute the game. Like, if they went to a 16-team playoff and all-conference champs, Michigan gets the number one seed. They have to play Boise State, I think. I just looked through it. Boise State wins the Mountain West. They're 8-5. Is that the end of the world? What's the difference of giving Boise State a chance versus giving Michigan a bye? Like, how do you determine that Michigan gets a bye over Florida State or Texas? You can't. So just have them play the lesser champ, and if you determine that they're the best, then they play Boise State. Maybe that 16-1 will happen, but from a TV perspective, you play it on Saturday, and just like the college basketball, you play the 1 and the 16 game at the same time as like an 8 and 9, a game that you think is going to be more competitive. And then you kind of match it up like that. You have two games going with like, what, a 15 or 30 minute difference they usually do, so that you can kind of switch back and forth and you see like, holy crap, Boise State might pull this off. And you flip back and you see it, or like, heck, Florida State is undefeated. Then they're going to play whatever, one of these other conference champs. Maybe they play James Madison, or they lost, didn't they? In the champ? I know they won one, so they must be, are they the champ? I wish they would have an asterisk here so I knew, looking at the standings, who are the champs of each ones. But like SMU, I'm assuming is, because theirs is a single. So like Florida State might play SMU or Liberty. And it's like, at that point, all right, maybe they get upset, but like Liberty is undefeated. So like, would it really matter that much? Like, I don't think people would be shocked. Florida State's quarterback's hurt. They lost an undefeated Liberty. That's a hell of a season. I think people, like, you're giving them the chance. But there are so many teams, like, even if Liberty wins against Oregon, they should 100% claim a national championship. They're not in any of the pools. Like, UCF was actually listed, like, in the computers right now. And I think the computers are so heavy, Big Ten, with, like, Michigan number one. I think Ohio State's might be 3 and, like, Penn State's 4 or something. Like, at least it was like that at one point, that there's no way, I don't think Liberty would be able to get that point. But they don't have a chance. And by cutting out, because they're cutting out almost half the country. It's not like the NFL, because I keep hearing that, oh, the NFL is going to maybe reach an agreement with the Big Ten and the SEC where it's a pure minor league, where it's not going to be like the XFL anymore, where they're just going to do like an NHL thing where they can draft your player. They're going to have like a regular, like a draft where you can draft a guy coming out of high school. And then if he signs with Michigan or whatever, you can call him up after like the first or second year if you want. So like, let's say CJ Stroud coming out of high school, they take a flyer on him. But like the NFL, I don't think they're really going to want to do that. Like the NHL. The NHL, you kind of have a feeling of like there's not that many teams and kids growing up that you kind of know who's going to be a beast. And like if Michigan has a bunch of NHL guys skating on their team, that once the NCAA tournament's over, they get called up. Like that's it. Because like the way how it works in hockey is like Michigan has guys that get drafted. They have like 5 or 6 on the team or whatever. And so then like if Michigan gets eliminated from the NCAA tournament, those guys, if they're going to graduate, they can go ahead and jump up to their pro team or whatever, or they could sign them early, or they could say, you need another year, go back and play. But like with the way like the transfer portal works, I don't really see that happening in hockey, but in college football, it's a totally different beast. So like, how are you going to tell your guy that you drafted, like, oh, hey, we drafted Tate Martell. He's doing pretty bad. Where do we want him to go? It's like, no, we're going to cut his ass. Like, it's just different. There's so many guys coming up. And how many of the top recruits actually pan out? I don't think the NFL wants to invest actual money in guys that, what, they have to put, like, on the NFLPA and stuff. I don't know how it works in hockey with, like, benefits and things like that. I just know that they have the rights. And it's kind of like college baseball, too. You can get drafted in high school. But I think in high school, you have to kind of decide if you want to sign with college or not. I don't think they're actively like on a team ready to go. But I know for hockey, Michigan has had guys like ready to be called up right when the tournament's over. And so maybe you could do that for football. But like to like your point, if the Jets, let's say if the Jets had drafted like Caleb Williams, right? Aaron Rodgers is hurt right now. He's out. They're like calling him up. And he's playing because Zach Wilson looks bad. That could be cool from an NFL perspective, but how's that going to affect? Like, it could be like an early, they would almost have to have a second draft of just high school kids. And what would each team only get a couple that they would pick? How would you even know? Some teams draft so bad. Could you imagine how bad they're missing in high school?
Although on the flip side of that, you're going to pull like a 19-year-old Caleb Williams and have him going up against like one of the best pass rushers in the league, just getting decapitated by Aaron Donald.
Well, see, I think they would probably keep the 2 or 3 year limit, where it'd probably be guys like him that are ready to go pro now, and he just would have to wait. But since he would already be, some of them would already be been drafted. I feel like they would only really be drafting quarterbacks, and maybe, well, defensive line is such a different beast because you don't know how much muscle and how much speed a guy's going to pack on. Because how many of them are busts? Like a Rashawn Gary, overall number one, I feel like it's kind of, some of them are like pure hits, but some of the other D linemen, like Hutchinson, was like what, a 3 or 4 star. So like him coming in, I doubt he would have been drafted out of high school. So there's going to be another mix. I feel like you would have to have two drafts, and maybe you're always picking a quarterback and just hoping that he hits. You're like, hey, we're going to draft you, but please do not sign with X school because we need you running a pro system. How much would that help like a school like Michigan? Where like, hey, we're going to draft the best quarterback, but we want you to go to a pro school. So here are your choices, buddy. Because like, I don't know how they would limit it, right? Because you can't really limit people in hockey. They can draft a guy, but like they can't really tell him where to go. So it's a different.
I selfishly don't like that, but that's just because I don't want it to be where you're getting these canned offenses, because then all it ends up being is, you know, there starts to become more of a separation, because if you can afford faster receivers than what I can put out as defensive backs, then it's just, was you just run fade off, just run those 50-50 jump balls, and your guys are just going to outgun me.
But well, that's why it shocked me that I think Notre Dame had like their first 5-star cornerback recruit in like ever. And I'm like, guys, that's all Michigan has been doing is trying to get cornerbacks, because they know Ohio State is getting all the 5-star receivers. It's really the only thing. Like, that's why you look at how many cornerbacks now. I watched like the Bengals, like their whole secondary was almost like Michigan at one point. And I'm like, nice, guys. But like, they have to, because Ohio State will just destroy them if they don't. And so like, that's a shift you have to do. But here in Notre Dame, like, finally got one. I was like, how? What's wrong with you guys? Like, what were you getting instead? No wonder you guys are getting killed in the biggest games. You have no cornerbacks or D-backs that are like 5-stars. I don't get it. But I agree. I don't want the change. I don't want the NFL to get involved at all. I know it would probably benefit Michigan. And like, would it really matter if Michigan and like whatever became a feeder school to like the Detroit Lions? And how would you even decide? Because like Ohio State has what, 2 NFL teams? And 1 college program, where Michigan has 1 NFL team, 2 college, major college programs. Pennsylvania has 2 teams, 2 college programs. Like, do you just divide them? Is it going to be like a minor league, or is it going to just be more of like...
Don't forget about Temple and Bucknell.
Well, I saw Delaware's trying to move up, so they have the same helmets. I hope they have to change theirs. What the hell?
And Penn.
So it's like, why are we doing this? But I think that people are underestimating, this isn't a minor league system where you can just change like whatever. There's not that many hockey schools, so it works. There's not that many hockey players. The NHL needs bodies, because how many guys come through, play for a couple years and get out? In the NFL, you still need bodies, but you almost need more of them because of the extra positions and everything you need. Because like what, hockey has 3-4 lines or whatever. At football, you need like 22 different guys, 11 play offense, 11 play defense, plus kickers and punters and stuff that you need multiple of. And so putting them, like picking the top 30 programs and feeding all the guys into them. Because like, even if, like, let's say, how do they pick the top 30? And if Florida State gets left behind, their program is like pretty much dead. But not only that, they're not going to take every single school. So you're going to lose some rivals. Like, there's a good chance, like, if they were trying to get to a 30 team, like, Michigan would probably lose, like, Michigan State. Pitt would be left behind for sure. So it's like, what are we doing at that point? How are you excited about college football? And if I went to NC State say? And what if no North Carolina school got promoted to this new league? The entire state, what, just doesn't care? They just only watch college basketball anymore? And with the NIL thing, there's a thing where, like, if the NFL does get involved in these kind of split away, the other schools from the smaller conferences are not going to let them have an NCAA tournament for basketball. Because why would they? Like, why would Gonzaga be like, oh yeah, we're going to go play Kentucky's 7-foot all-stars, where it's like they're all getting millions of dollars a year and Gonzaga can't afford anybody anymore, so they're just getting smoked. It's like, yeah, why would he have that tournament? Like, they're going to kill they're going to basically kill all of college sports, because, like, you're talking about Florida State winning a women's soccer. If they're not in the major conference that has all the money, they're not going to compete anymore. And it's going to be, you would almost have to specialize. You'd have to pick, like, Nebraska might just be women's volleyball and that's it. Where you're like, we're going to have the other sports, but we're pretty much just going to be a body bag. Let's go ahead and just focus all of our money and NIL into, like, one thing and try to compete. Like, Iowa would just be wrestling. Like, we're just going to wrestle, guys. Beat us in the Big Ten championship game. We don't have to score. The gambling line was half a point. You could have bet per half if you thought Iowa was going to score 1 point to win. All they had to do was get a safety. They couldn't do it. And I was like, that was so tempting to people. And I saw people posting their losses like, why couldn't their backup score? It's like, at the end of the game, what are they doing? All they needed was one field goal. And they got in field goal range, and then they fumbled. And I thought, how many people are just ripping their slips up or whatever? I guess it's all digital now anymore. But that's my thing. Very disappointed. It wasn't really like, you're just afraid. It's like, no, because, like, if even now, it's almost like we know it's a sham. I've been saying the playoff system the way it is right now, and even the 12 team is a sham. So it just kind of just takes, like, the excitement out of the playoff. It's like, all right, well, am I going to schedule around it? Maybe. I'll definitely watch the game, but, like, if Michigan wins or loses, like, I'm not going to watch the other game probably. Maybe it'll be on, but I'm not going to really be caring. And for the national championship, if it ends up being a Texas-Bama rematch that never should have randomly happened, and Florida State does win, why would I watch that loser bowl? Right?
Yeah.
Because, like, if that happens where Florida State beats Georgia and Michigan and Washington both lose, then the national championship game is really just a loser's rematch. Florida State should be the national champion at that point. I don't care how good Bama could kill Texas by like 80 points the next time they play, and it really wouldn't matter because they both have a loss. That's the thing with USCF's championship that is so good. They were the only undefeated team that year. So no matter how many teams Bama claims they beat, they still lost a game. And that's why if they win this year, they still lost a game. Even if they avenge it, they still lost a game. And heck, even if Florida State doesn't get it done, but Liberty does, if there's an undefeated champ, I don't see how you can claim to be the undisputed national champ. And it's been like that for a few years. I mean, Auburn got ripped off and going all the way back to like 2003. That's what this was supposed to prevent. Hey, we're having a playoff to make sure all of the teams that have a legit claim are in the playoffs. And maybe it's because it's the last year. Maybe they hate the ACC. Maybe people just hate Florida State in the conference. And they're just like, we hate you guys. We don't want you to win a national championship. So we're not going to vote you in. I don't know what the four teams were in. I know NC State's guy is in. The AD was like with the head guy. But he's a Duke and Notre Dame guy.
But, so, you know, I think part of that conundrum that they had with the Bulls is I'm sure a lot of those other Bulls were thinking, okay, Florida State's going to be in the playoffs, so which ones do we want for our other Bulls? And trying to slate out everybody else along the way. And then when they got snubbed, it was like, oh, crap, now we got to reposition ourselves to try to fill these other spots.
Well, that's what happened because they kind of had it slotted out where Florida State was going to go, and then Notre Dame would take that spot, and then it would be like Louisville and NC State. So, like, when Florida State didn't get picked, the top bowl, of course, went to Florida State. And then the other bulls are fighting. They're like, well, actually, we don't want Louisville, or we don't want NC State. We want Notre Dame. And they're like, well, how do we pick who gets where? And then if you don't want Notre Dame, then who wants Louisville? It's like, well, we don't want them either. And then it's like a whole list of, we don't want any of these schools.
Just really bad.
It's going down because you're like trying to grab the team that's kind of ahead, but there's like no clear separation. We're like in the Big Ten, it's like, well, Michigan's out. Obviously, the next thing is going to grab Ohio State. Then they're going to grab Penn State. Then they'll grab Iowa. And then just like right down the list to the bottom, it's like nobody cares. Like we're going to grab like a Wisconsin or someone, even if they're bowl eligible. I don't even know if Wisconsin is this year. Probably not. But like we're going to grab a team. Like Wisconsin is. So they'll like grab a Wisconsin that has a bunch of fans instead of like Maryland. Where in the ACC, it's like, who do we want? We don't want any of these guys. Maybe we can grab Clemson now. And so like they're fighting. But like I said, Clemson too. Because I saw a lot of their fans being like, well, this would never happen to us. It's like, no, it could absolutely happen to you. Like Clemson got lucky the way it was going. Because like some of the other big brands were down. But like now that it's like Michigan and Ohio State and Notre Dame's been up, and maybe Notre Dame's down for a while now, but like you have Bama and Georgia and LSU maybe coming back. Like those schools aren't getting jumped. I don't know what you're thinking. It's not like they'll just say like, oh yeah, Clemson, they used to be good. Maybe we'll pick them, but they're not going to be like, if Clemson was like a number one, I would completely be shocked the way they set this up this year. And it's just heartbreaking because if you're a fan of some other school, Virginia Tech, known as a football school, has been having some bad years. Like I brought up West Virginia earlier. Even like North Carolina, NC State, those are all ACC schools. It doesn't even extend to them. Vanderbilt, some of the SEC ones, you're not getting a fair shake. I don't care if you're in the SEC. Even A&M probably going forward. They're 100% going to pick Texas and Oklahoma over you. 100%. Like you have to really distance yourself now. The Big Ten, like Nebraska, who's really picking Nebraska anymore? Like you're done. We now have USC in there, Oregon. You're going to be like what, 10th on the totem pole? Some of these schools are in for a rude awakening. And that's why I wish the ACC, because they have the contract with ESPN. Maybe that's why they were afraid. But what's the worst case scenario? ESPN sues them for breach of contract. They go to discovery, find all the college football committee things where they're saying like the ACC, we have to leave out. Because that's what I want to see too. Because if that comes to light, that could break the grant of rights. And then those schools are free. And ESPN doesn't want to lose Florida State and Clemson most likely to the Big Ten or wherever they would go. And that's why I've been saying the Big Ten has Fox, NBC, and CBS instead of just one network that has all their money and all their eggs in the SEC basket, where if the SEC gets left out, or hell, the best scenario would be Michigan or Washington winning the national championship and then running with it and winning two or three, or like getting into a groove where it's like, hey, Michigan won. Oh, Ohio State wins next year, or Penn State wins. And then they would really be sweating. Because if you start to get some of the NIL money, that's why I keep hearing things about the Big Ten. It's like, well, all that TV money is going to new facilities. I'm like, that should 100% be going to an NIL fund to get the Big Ten to start ripping through the SEC in terms of talent. Because if you start getting some of their talent that transfers, because like, look now, you can't, Bama can't stack three deeps full of all starters, because if they're not playing, they're not getting paid. And they can go to Colorado or somewhere and get paid. And that's going to be one of the equalizers. And if the Big Ten starts paying a base salary to some of these other like 3 and 4 star guys that could be starting somewhere else, and they're like, well, I am getting paid and I might be playing for a national championship. The teams that do that first are going to be the ones that really separate themselves. And if the Big Ten's making the most money, they need to be the ones to do it. And ESPN's getting subscribers leaving, losing money. That's why almost why I'm feeling like they're sabotaging the ACC. They're like, we're going to sabotage you, because even if the top schools leave, no one else wants you, other guys. They don't care. We don't care if we lose you. I almost feel like that's they're playing like a little bit of chicken here, where they're like, go ahead.
Well, the funniest of the conspiracy theories that I heard over the weekend is that ESPN right now is politically in this big piss and match with the state of Florida. And so they said, well, the way that Disney's sticking it to Florida now for all the extra political stuff they're doing is they're going to keep Florida State out of the playoffs so that it hurts the resources coming into Florida. It's like, are we really being petty on that level? We're like, penalize Florida State, keep them out as a move to be like, in your face, Florida.
Well, see, that's where I think, because like, even if they could somehow prove that it was ESPN behind it and Florida State's able to break the grant of rights and they get like Miami, they could start to cherry pick schools that they want to form a new conference with, that even if the bigger schools from the Big Ten and the SEC form like this NFL conference, they're still big enough that they can just start claiming their own national championship. And honestly, you might have a bunch of people that view it because that, like I said, those other top conferences, the way they're going and the way if everyone wants that NFL light, they're going to have to start cutting teams and they can do like, oh, we're going to do a promotion. All the other schools have to say is just, nah. Like, there's
but that's
like
such a hard thing to try to form these super conferences that it's hard to cherry pick what the projection is going to be, because when the ACC expanded and brought in Miami and Pitt, and they thought, oh, we'll bring some of these Big East teams in and we'll have this semi-balanced thing coming in now because we'll have all these extra schools. It'll make our conference stronger and more competitive and blah, blah, blah. All it did was it battered each other, and now we're in one of these down cycles where you're struggling to have a spot.
Well, see, that's where the Big Ten got it right, where they're only taking the biggest schools and forming like their own cable, where you can say like, oh, we're taking Penn State. That's the state of Pennsylvania. If you're in there, of course you're going to cheer for Penn State. But like, some of the states aren't like built like that for like decades at a time, where some of them are kind of grandfathered in, where if they're going to make a cut between Michigan and Michigan State at one point, Michigan State is 100% getting cut. Like, that's not a homer pick by me. That's 100% going to happen. And so, like, do they really need two or three teams in Indiana? It will just become Notre Dame. Like, that's it. Like, they don't need Indiana. They don't need Purdue. They don't need any of those. So, like, if you're really going to start to cut teams out, you're really going to only get one in each big market. And people that are hating on Rutgers, there's a good chance Rutgers isn't left behind. And neither is Maryland. It's like, oh, Michigan, Ohio State, Penn State, Maryland, Rutgers, Notre Dame, maybe a Wisconsin or Minnesota, but like Nebraska gone. Who do they bring in? Probably Illinois for Chicago, unless they keep Northwestern, but it'd probably just be Illinois. Then like USC or UCLA, like they've already done it with the Pac-12. Washington and Oregon. They didn't bring Washington State. They didn't bring Oregon State. That's where Florida State, that's why I'm surprised some of the ACC schools, because a lot of them are the second considered tier. Because like ESPN, they have Florida. They don't care about Florida State. They actually don't want Florida State to win a national championship because it hurts Florida. So they're like, we're vested in. We don't want them in. Like Virginia and Virginia Tech, like they would probably want one of them. They probably want North Carolina, but they don't want Duke. For basketball, they want to keep that rivalry alive, but that brings in, what, a million or two viewers? The Michigan-Ohio State game had, like, 19 million this year. On like, the past decade of regular season Duke-North Carolina games might add up to that. Not that many people watch basketball. So, like, that's their hype. If you can get that happening in football with some of these, all they're going to want to do, Matt, is pick one or two schools. That's probably why they're kicking themselves about A&M. That was a means to an end. I've been saying it for a while. The SEC is bringing in Texas. They don't need A&M anymore. That's why the Big Ten should have reached out immediately and said, hey, you want in? We need your state for recruiting. Same with Florida State. The Big Ten, I don't care about academics at this point because the money and stuff's going to eat it up. You need to call Florida State. You need to call Texas A&M and say like, yo, you in on this? Georgia Tech too. Because Georgia Tech almost beat Georgia. I don't care what the pundits say. That was a close game.
I know. I know. They had him close. So hopefully Connor Stallions can send his notes to Mike Norvell. Give him the blueprint.
That's who that Georgia Tech just hire Connor Stallions, come into the league. Then you're there. Cause like, that's what the Big Ten needs to do, is just fight fire with fire. You have three networks. Those networks don't care. In like 10 years, no one's going to look back and be like, oh yeah, that Georgia team was really good. Cause like even USC now, people are like over them. When a decade ago or two, they were awesome. And now people are like, they might never be back. They're garbage. Like, you could just cut one of them or UCLA in all reality now that the conference is broken up. Or, like, Cal's probably gone. SEC, like, you really think they're going to keep Vanderbilt and Tennessee? Nah, dog. Vanderbilt's going to be gone. There's no reason that Vanderbilt would be in any position of power. Mississippi State and Ole Miss, one of them would be getting cut 100%. Actually, both of them would probably be getting cut, if we're being honest. Because why would they care? Why would they care? And that's my ending to the show. You have anything else you want to add? I know you're probably pissed about the whole thing.
I was, but it's just time to move onward and upward. Just keep battling. Hopefully we get that application into the Big Ten soon and tell the ESPN to sit and spin on it.
Because that's what we need. We can't just have one body of combined schools. You need to have all of them around, because like, I honestly don't think that like NC State grads are just going to start cheering for UNC if they get left behind in like some form of Big 12. I think they would just keep cheering for that conference, and that's it. Because like, Duke doesn't even have fans. UNC doesn't really have fans either at their games. Joining the SEC doesn't magically create fans that are going to pay for tickets. That's the line they're walking now. And when you start having empty stadiums, because you're one of the teams are going to have to start losing. One of them is going to become a Vanderbilt. And how many teams can fill a stadium with a losing record? Not many. So heck, keep bringing the best in, and a lot of those best schools are going to start losing. And then where are you at? So if you have any thoughts on it, send them to us. I know it was all college football today, but really ruining football going forward if they can't figure out a way to keep college alive as it is, where everybody has a chance. So thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week.